It's so wonderful to be back with all of you and to recognize some of your friendly faces. And I'm always amazed because, you know what, for a speaker, it's one thing to be invited one time, but it's another thing to be invited twice. And I just love coming back and being here and going out and getting to know some of you and shaking your hands and getting a hug from you and a smile from you. And I hope that by the end of this day, you will know many, many people that are around you, because some of you have come from great distances. I met a woman that had come with a group from Stockton, and they said they had driven 8 hours, I think, to get here. Did anyone else come farther? Is it 8 hours? Oh, excuse me, I don't know my geography. It was 30 minutes, right? I've already started off with a faux pas for the day. That'll wake you up for sure. Okay, I know somebody drove 8 hours to get here, but I'm not sure where it was at. Where was it at? Brookings, Oregon. Did anyone come farther than that? All right. We hope they stay awake through the day. All right, anybody else come farther than that? Somebody else had their hand up. Over here, where are you from? Klamath Falls, Oregon. How long did it take you to get here? 7 hours. Well, why did it take you longer with 8 hours? They shop by the outlet malls. Oh, it's so good. And I know, you know, those of you who were here last year know that I've got these 5 incredible, intelligent, beautiful, wonderful grandchildren. And little Emily, when she was about 3 years old, came to our house. Actually, she was only 2 years old, and she had just really, really gotten into the walking bit. And we were out on the patio, and I was sitting in my lawn porch swing out there, and she was just playing, and all of a sudden I heard, "Grammy, Grammy, watch me, watch me." And I turned around, and there she is going like this, and she says, "I'm gumping on my dippy toes." And her pudgy little legs were not even making it off the ground, but she was trying so hard. She was gumping so good. And you know, I look at all your faces, and I know some of you are here just gumping on your dippy toes too. Just to be back another year, just to be back in this place on a Saturday and spend your entire day when you could be at the mall or out there with the kids on the soccer field. You have made that decision to be wise women who want to build their house and not pull it down. Now, our theme scripture, Proverbs 14, verse 1, is one that all of you should memorize by the end of this day. Because it says that the wise woman is the one who is building her house, but the foolish one is the one who is plucking it down with their own hands. And because I counsel a lot of women through the year, I know the truth of that proverb. And we need to learn how to be godly women in an ungodly world, how to build our house rather than plucking it down. Now, I moved back to Orange County about 7 years ago, and it brought about many, many changes for me when I moved. And in fact, the first year that I was in Orange County, I moved exactly 4 times. Now, at my age, that's not easy. Moving is never easy, but let me tell you, the older you get, the more difficult that it becomes. But the more you move, the more you begin to simplify your life. But perhaps the most incredible aspect of this move was that to get television, we had to have cable television. And when we turned on the cable television, I discovered all these wonderful channels. But I also discovered the Home and Garden Channel, which is my favorite program. In fact, I have it on so much now at my house that my husband is listening to little bits and pieces. This man who's never cared what I did in the house at all. Not like some husbands who have to help make every decision on every piece of furniture that's bought or every color that's included in the house. My husband could care less. But because he's been watching this, he came in one day and he actually told me the style of our home, which scared me to death. I thought, he's not going to know what this is anymore. I'm not going to let him watch it. I don't want him to know these things because I like making the decisions in these programs. Now, my favorite program quickly became the program that you all know and is familiar, called This Old House, with Bob Vila and his sidekick. And each episode has them remodeling some old house that they've chosen to completely renovate. And one day I watched, because normally they take houses that are on the East Coast, you know, and I don't relate to the basement being flooded out and all of those things. But this day they chose a house that was in Malibu. I don't really choose, you know, or identify with houses that are built on the beach either, but it was closer to home. And this house was built up on big pilings that was on a sandy beach, but because it had been through numerous storms throughout the year, the high tides had given it a beating and eroded the entire foundation, placing it in great danger of falling. And I watched as they jacked up the entire house, and they brought in huge cranes and huge drills and heavy machinery, and then they proceeded to drill down with these huge bits down through all the sand until they came to bedrock. Now, this took them a long time to do, a couple of days. They then installed these huge, gigantic pilasters down into the sand and down into this bedrock, and then they proceeded to fill these pilasters with rebar and brought in the cement machines and filled it up with cement. The house was then lowered, and they remodeled it completely, and the house was transformed into a lovely Spanish-style showpiece. Now, when people drive by this house in Malibu, there are very, very few people, if any, who ever comment on what a beautiful, wonderful, glorious foundation that house has. However, without that firm, solid foundation, when the storms come back again, and when the tides come rolling in, that house again would eventually begin to fall. Likewise, if we do not take time to pay attention to laying a solid foundation, a firm foundation, we will be like that unwise woman that's listed in the scripture, and our homes and our lives will eventually begin to fall. Now, Psalm 1, you can turn with me over to this portion of scripture, if you will, begins to contrast the wise man or the wise woman with the foolish man or woman, and tells us that the way to a fruitful life is through the Word of God. That is our foundation. The scripture says, "Blessed is the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but her delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law she meditates day and night. She shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever she does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful that it is a firm foundation, and we pray that you bless the teaching of your word this morning. We need your Holy Spirit to teach us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, throughout the Bible, we are told that the Word of God gives us purity and cleansing, and the Word of God gives us counsel and wisdom. Are any of you in this room today here because you need counsel and wisdom? You don't have to show me your hands, but we're all here. We all need wisdom. We all need counsel. We all need to know how to be good wives. We all need to know how to raise godly kids in an ungodly world. We all need to know how to conduct ourselves at our places of employment. And when we look at the Word of God, it gives us counsel and it gives us wisdom so that we don't need to get our counsel from places like Dr. Phil or Dr. Laura or Oprah Winfrey or the women on The View. You know, I wonder why on earth people call in on the radio to these places and get verbally abused. And they call it getting wisdom and counsel. This is what the world gives us, but the Word of God gives us counsel and gives us wisdom. The Word of God gives us freedom and liberty. The Word of God gives us renewal and comfort. It gives us joy and a song. It gives us insight and understanding. It gives light and direction to our path. It gives us peace and stability. And in a world that is ever changing, in a world that is very, very dark and dismaying, we need this peace and stability that the Word of God can give to us. I got up this morning, and as my daily practice is, I picked up my Bible and I started reading through, and my practice is to go from cover to cover. I just have found that this works for me, and so I read through, not all in one morning, of course. But I happened to be in Isaiah today, and my chapter that I was reading was Isaiah 40, and it says that he gives strength to those who are weak, and I was feeling weak. And I thought, Lord, you're so perfect, because day by day as I go through your word, he gives me what I need, and he'll give that to you. The scripture tells us that the word of God is like many facets of a perfectly cut and polished diamond. You know, I've been married almost 47 years now to the same man, consecutive years, by the grace of God. But on our 25th wedding anniversary, he decided that he was going to get me something very special, and so he decided he would get me a new wedding band or a new wedding ring or whatever I wanted. And we decided to get a band made just for me, and then we picked out a diamond. Now, I had no idea what even to look for. The jeweler would tell us, you know, as we looked through this little eye, that I was all cockeyed anyway, I couldn't see. And he would tell me, okay, now you look for this and you look for that and all of these things. And I said, I just want one that glitters. I don't care how perfect it is. I just want it to sparkle and to shine. You know, as you get older, you look for sequins and beads and things that glitter. I think it has something to do with your eyesight as you get older. But I realized that when I look into the Word of God, it's just like looking at a beautiful diamond, because they take a lot of effort and a lot of time in cutting those facets perfectly. And then they polish it and do all of this. But it is like that. Every time that we look into the Word of God, it is new and it is refreshing. And we see something there that stands out to us and catches our eye. The Word of God is faithful. The Word of God is eternal. The Word of God is boundless. And the Word of God is trustworthy. You can build your foundation on the Word and know that it will not fall. It keeps us faithful. It keeps us focused. It keeps us flexible, filled, and fragrant. You can have all of the best perfumes that you want, all the most expensive designer fragrances, but the Word of God gives you a fragrance that is irresistible to the world. It keeps us stable. It keeps us steadfast. It keeps us secure. It keeps us strong. It is a lamp and a light. It is a sword and a shield. It has all we need to build our marriages, our families, our homemaking skills, our relationships with the world, and how to live godly lives in a dark, decaying, disgusting world. Someone once said, however, that if all church members who were neglecting their Bibles dusted them off simultaneously, the worst dust storm in history would occur. And I went on the line and I checked out some facts and figures, and I don't know if you're into statistics, but it's kind of interesting to me. But I found that a poll that was taken by USA Today a few years ago showed that only 11% of Americans read their Bible every day. Now, this is a total of Americans, not just those who are born again and those who are not born again. This is everyone. And then more than half read it less than once a month or never at all. But listen to this statistic. The Barna Group found that among professing born-again Christians, only 18%, which is less than 2 out of every 10, read every day. 2 out of 10 read their Bibles every day, and 23%, that's 1 in 4, never, ever read the Word of God. And then a survey that was taken by Christianity Today and the Gallup poll both concluded, no factor is more influential than shaping a person's moral and social behavior than regular Bible readings. However, the statistics are absolutely frightening. Listen to this. 68% believe that God helps those who help themselves. These are from born-again, Bible-believing Christians. 53% said that the Holy Spirit does not exist. 47% said that Satan does not exist. And 31% says that a good person can earn their way to heaven. 30% said that Jesus died but did not have a physical resurrection. And 24% believe that Jesus committed sin. Pretty frightening, isn't it? When my first eldest granddaughter was about 3 years old, I picked her up and I learned a long time ago when you've got 5 grandkids that the best way to have quality time is to take them one at a time. 5 was a little overwhelming all at one time, but I could take them one time each individually. And so I picked Erin up, and she was going to spend the night with me, this little 3-year-old, and I had her in the car, and we were driving back to my house, and I said, Erin, tell Grammy your memory verse from Sunday school, because really I wasn't checking her out. I was checking my son and my daughter-in-law out to see if they were teaching her. And she says, oh, Grammy, I don't want to. And I said, oh, please, 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 tell Grammy your memory verse. Oh, all white. Go into all the world and tell the good news. And I said, Erin, what's the good news? And she said, it's Jesus in your heart. We got all the way home, and it was kind of quiet after that. I praised her and told her how wonderful she was and how glorious and how intelligent. And, you know, this was a wonderful scripture. And we drove into the driveway, and it was quiet, you know, just for those few minutes. And we got all the way home. And then Erin looked up at me with those big blue eyes, and she said, Grammy, what's the bad news? Well, ladies, I just told you all the bad news. Now I'm going to tell you the good news. The good news is that we can build on the rock. We can have a firm foundation. We can have good marriages. We can raise good kids. We can live lives that are victorious. We can be fruitful, and we can be pleasing to the Father. And most of all, we can have a living, loving relationship and fellowship with the Lord of Lords and King of Kings by being in His Word and applying it. It is possible to raise godly kids. Now, there's no guarantee that they won't stray, but the Word says that they will come back. I saw that in the lives of my own children, but I raised them according to the Word, and now they're raising their children to know the Lord as well. They come back. The Lord is faithful. Now I want you to do something. I know our time is running short, but I want you to do something really fast. I want you to pull out a blank piece of paper from your notebook and a pen or a pencil. And I want you to make a diagram of your hand, just like they do in preschool. I want you to go just like this. Nobody's going to check you at the door. And please, you don't have to decorate it with rings or fingernails. Just simply draw a diagram of your hand. because there's something about having it visually in front of us that really locks it into our mind and our spirit. And in the little pinky finger, I want you to write 10%. Because sadly enough, what you hear with your ears of the Word of God, you will only retain 10% of it. 10%. Now, the scripture says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we need to hear the Word. That's why we have Sunday morning services and women's Bible studies through the week, so that we can hear the Word being taught to us. But you will only retain 10%. The next finger, I want you to write in there 20%. 20% of what you read, you will retain. That means you're just reading through the Word of God. That doesn't mean that you're just stopping and, you know, going through and pulling it all apart at that point. That's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about reading it. That's what I do the first thing in the morning. When my feet hit the floor, coming out of that bed, I pick my Bible up and I have a time of just reading the Word. And let me tell you, it's not a marathon. I know that certain pastors say that they read 5 chapters a day, you know, 2 in the Old and 3 in the New Testament, and then they read one of the Psalms. I can't do that. Sometimes it's just a couple of scriptures, a couple of verses. But if you are simply reading it, you're going to retain 20%. Now, the next finger is 50%. 50% of what you study for yourself will be retained. You will find treasure as you study. That means you find a word that you don't understand, you look it up in the back of your Bible, or find another scripture that backs that up, or you get a Haley's Bible Handbook, or some of the helps that are back on the book table. This is a little plug for the book table. And you find things that will help you to understand that word more fully. And then the next finger is 100%. 100% of what you memorize, you will retain. You know, when I was in vacation Bible school as a child, I was taught to memorize the scripture. And I memorized a lot of it so I could win the prize. I did not understand anything, but let me tell you, when I got to be an adult, those verses came back to me into my mind and memory because they've been planted in me, and now I know and understand the meaning. And then the next one, your thumb, is for meditating. Meditating has gotten a bum rap, a bad rap in society, because we're not talking about transcendental meditation here or some far out new age thing. We're talking about what the scripture calls meditating on the Word of God, chewing on it, like J. Vernon McGee says, like a cow chews the cud. You get it in the morning, and about 10 o'clock you bring it up and chew it on it again like a cow, and then you digest it and you put it back into your system, and then you bring it back up again about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then, you know, when the kids are coming home from school and you really need it then, and then you chew on it some more, and then as you go to bed. So that's meditating. Let me tell you a little secret. For years I made this excuse that I could wait till the end of the day to be in God's Word, but then you're meditating, not meditating. And I've learned that even though I am not a morning person, I must seek the Lord early, because then I have strength for the day, rather than at the end of the day saying, oh God, I'm so sorry, I blew it again. Because now the day's already gone. And you will be challenged on being in the Word of God. The enemy will not like it. And then Jesus said to his disciples in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and obey it. The book of James tells us that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. An application of the word and obedience to it is where our goal lies. You see, it's one thing to read it. It's one thing to study it. It's one thing to memorize it. But if we are not applying it to our lives, we've missed the mark. And this is the difference between the woman who is wise and the woman who is foolish, the woman who builds and the woman who destroys. It's the difference between victory and defeat. And amazingly enough, because I counsel with women on a regular basis, I see women who have actually made the Word of God a priority in their life, but they've had no clue how to apply it. And thus they have lives that are devastated by their foolish choices. You see, you can have all the head knowledge there is, but you've got to take the Word of God and begin to obey the Word of God. You see, it's not the things that we don't understand about the Word of God. It's the things that we do understand that we need to apply. And there's plenty of things in here that are easy to understand. If we were just doing those things, we'd have our hands full. The women that are surviving and thriving are the ones who know the truth, are applying the truth, and thereby defeating the lies of the enemy as he seeks to pervert the truth. And we are in a spiritual war. We cannot bury our heads in the sand. We have to understand that the enemy is out to destroy our homes and our lives. And the tactics of the enemy has not changed through the ages. He is constantly, constantly challenging our building program. And he seeks to disable us by divisions, by disloyalties, by distress, by debauchery, by dishonesty, by derision, by discord, by distraction, by doubt, by dismay, by discouragement and depression, all the deadly deeds, and his ultimate goal is to defeat and to destroy us. Jesus knew the weapon of the word was mighty and strong to the pulling down of every strong thing, every imagination that exalted itself against God. And when tempted by Satan, he used the word of God as his shield and his sword. He defeated every temptation by his declaration, "It is written, it is written, it is written." You will not know what is written if you're not in it. You cannot stand on the promises of God if you don't know what the promises of God are. Now draw a line down your paper, down an empty piece of paper. On one side, put the lies of the enemy, and on the other side, put truth. What are some of the lies the enemy comes to whisper to you? This is feedback time. You tell me and shout it out. What are some of the lies the enemy is whispering to you? That we're not good enough. Okay, who has a scripture for that, a promise from God's word? What is it? You have to shout it. I can't hear it. We're bought with a price. Perfect. Another one he tells us, and I prayed it in our prayer, that we would know that we are his pearl of great price. We are his precious treasure. For God so loved the world. John 3:16. We should all know that by memory. So the enemy whispers lies. What are some of the other lies that he's whispering to you? Anyone? I'm the only one he whispers lies to? What? You're not special to your husband anymore. Does anybody have a scripture to that? Okay, a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, a people chosen by God. All right, Proverbs, right? He who finds a wife finds a good thing. All right, perfect. Do you see how this works? The enemy will whisper those lies to you. Sometimes it just helps to go to that piece of paper and write those things down and then find a scripture that will defeat the lie of the enemy. This is just very practical stuff I'm giving you this morning. I'm a very practical person. I want to know how the Word of God applies to my life on a daily basis. I don't want it to be all theory. I want it to be practical in my life, and victory comes by standing on these promises. The Word of God must be our first and our last priority. We've all been given the same 24 hours in the day, each day, 7 days a week, 24 hours. Even the President of the United States has only been given 24 hours a day, and he takes time to read his Bible. Isn't that amazing? He's probably one of the busiest men in all of the world. So ladies, it's not good enough now to have an excuse. It takes determination. It takes diligence. It takes discipline. It takes all of these things, and it takes paying a cost to be in the Word of God. because there's a lot of good things that are beckoning to us and pulling us away. But we don't want to settle for just what's good. We want to settle for what's best. And that's being in the Word of God. Now, I have recently discovered the most incredible, wonderful place in Orange County where I live to be able to shop. In this store, I have found a suit by Tahari, a leather skirt that I'm wearing today by Donna Karen, a brand new pair of pumps by Evan Pacone, a beautiful purse by Adrian Vitadini, and a long black coat with a fox fur collar that's to die for. Now, my friends have all started asking me to take them along. I'm going to start charging for tours. This store is called the Goodwill. Now, when I take all my friends with me, when we go into the store and come out, I'm the one who has all the prizes. My friends simply go through their racks kind of like this, you know, like they don't want to touch anything. And they skim through all the racks on the shelves, but I look at every garment on every rack, and I move very slowly and very meticulously, and I look at every item and every detail. And I go often, and I go on a regular basis. And because I do this, I win. Now, being in the Word of God is the same principle. Those who find the most are those who go often and regularly. And those who take their time and look at every jot and every tittle. And the result when we do this will be a foundation for our homes that will not falter nor founder when hit by the fiercest of storms, that will still be fruitful and still be victorious when challenged by the very gates of hell. What an incentive to be in the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we want our foundations to be strong and firm. And many here in this place are going through fierce storms and fierce battles, and they need all of your wisdom and all of your counsel. And Lord, your word is enough. Help us to be diligent. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be applying your word so that we can stand in this wicked world. Lord, where else would we turn but to you? And you are more than sufficient. You are all we need and then some. And Lord, we thank you. Help us to be willing to pay that cost, to turn away from such good things that beckon to us and seek after only the best. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.